First, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer for me. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially all my old ideas, so I can live in your truth. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, we're starting the big book on Wednesday night for the 10th time, and we'll be finishing 10 years, celebrating our 10 years, the end of September for the Saturday. On the Saturday meeting, we're on how it works, and we're going to be going through, so if you're new, we're going to be going through the how it works preamble, and then third step, and all the fourth step in detail, so if you're new, and how you do it, and all the instructions. And we started the Wednesday night meeting about 6 months or so after the Saturday meeting, and on Sunday night, we're almost finished the big book. And then we'll be starting that over the 10th time. It takes longer each time because I add more and more to it. Tonight, I've got a handout, and I brought in the original big book. This is not the original, but it's a copy that I got at Dr. Bob's house. And this is how the book looked. And I think it's bigger than our book. That's why it was called the big book. A lot of people come to AA for quite a while, don't know that the big book is actually called Alcoholics Anonymous. And there was no Alcoholics Anonymous till this book was given to the world in 1939. And on the back it says, the story of how more than 100 men and women have recovered from alcoholism. So that's why we use the word recovered. Some people think when I say recovered that I'm bragging or being arrogant or not. It's a term they used for they weren't under the bondage of alcoholism. And they felt like they had a relationship with God that gave them a power so that they weren't under the bondage of their alcoholism anymore. And they said 100 men, but there was a woman, but they'd already made the cover. So they changed it. And there were probably only 60 or 70 people, and we have quite a few people here tonight, so think how this started at in those days. It was like the beginning of the church. Christian church with 12 and then 100. And it's called Works Publishing Company. Get it? How it works. And Faith Without Works is dead. And they called it Works Publishing Company. And on the back, there's some quotes. It says, we have not sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. An illness of this sort, and we have come to believe that an illness involves those about us in a way no other human illness can, and these are quotes from the big book. And then if you open the cover flap, it says, quoting from Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, I get a little emotional because this book changed my life. This book has changed millions of lives. Now, we have a large fellowship, but the book was the deal, and it's actually the textbook, and I was thinking about it. If you come to AA and you're in a hopeless condition of mind and body, then what we should really say is sign up for this course. It's called How to Recover from Alcoholism, and the course is the read the textbook. And so when my son died, and I actually got the idea from God to start these meetings following the Joe and Charlie, what my real thought was, but I didn't formulate it, was that I was going to teach the book as a textbook so people could follow this and they didn't have to die in their car. And I don't know, I'm getting better at it than I was in the beginning. But it needs to be taught, so I consider this like we're taking a class, we're starting a class on how to recover from alcoholism, and we're going to study the textbook together. I'm going to try to guide you through it. And the problem is that it never ends. So it's a continuous recovery. And I think studying the big book, I don't think you ever really stop. Because the more you study it, the more you learn. It's kind of like scriptures. There's new words in it, new things. So that's what we're starting tonight. And I think it's kind of neat. It says, quoting those of us, and this is from page 29, I believe, those of us who live in large cities are overcome by the reflection that close by hundreds are dropping in the oblivion of the day. Many would recover if they had the opportunity we have enjoyed. And then here's the deal. How shall we present that which has been so freely given us? Now, I remember two guys in their kitchen in Akron, Ohio, in 1938, said, you know, we've got 40 people sober. And these were people who could not live without alcohol. They were dying. And they said, we've got something here. We need to write it and put it in some form so that we can share it with the world. And it says, how then shall we present? We have concluded to publish an anonymous volume. And I don't have my book open. It ends there on how what they did and how they did it to show precisely how people can recover. I think, is that right? Pretty close. And so that's the quote. And then it says, you can order the book. And it was $3.50, which was a lot of money in 1939. And, you know, we have big egos, right? And they made a big book. And Gone with the Wind was the number one bestseller. And they sold like millions of those copies. And that was only $3.25. And so $3.50 in those days was a lot of money. Minimum wage was like 20 cents. And it says, send $3.50. It's a free examination basis. Send $3.50 or instruct to send COD and pay the few extra cents money return. Examine for 7 days, and if not satisfied that the book will be helpful, return, and money will be refunded. Works Publishing Company. So this is the book that they gave to the world. And the first page in this book was blank. I don't know if they did that intentionally. But I heard the speaker who I really like, and he said, the first page is blank because you need to leave everything you think you know about anything behind. Let go of all your old ideas. We read that tonight. Let go of them absolutely or the results nil. And so anything that you think you know about anything, forget it. Start over. Be open-minded and willingness. And then the first page says Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous had three groups at the time the book was printed, and the Cleveland group named itself Alcoholics Anonymous after the book, and then that's how it became Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous, when the book was published, I keep making this point, was this book in the 12 steps. It was this program, the 12 steps. AA was the 12 steps. Now, through the years, we got away from that. And in the American Medical Association declared alcoholism a disease in 1975 or 6 or something. Well, that doesn't sound like a big deal, does it? But they gave it a DSM code, which means people could charge to treat it. Get the picture? And they couldn't have enough treatment centers. When I went in 85, they had 70 people going through all day long. They were making so much money, they didn't know what to do with it. And it was a big money maker, and insurance would have to pay because it was a diagnosis and a disease. So the treatment centers started. I'm not saying that's good or bad, but the treatment centers developed their own program of recovery. You know, they started a treatment model. I don't know who started it, but it wasn't the book. Now, some of them, I'm sure, emphasized the book or included AA, but it got away. And at the same time, two men, Joe and Charlie, were meeting at an Al-Anon convention in Arkansas, and they both loved the book. And they started to exchange and meet at other meetings, and they figured out the key of how the book's put together. And they started the Joe and Charlie meetings. And they did 35 meetings a year for like 25 years. And they changed, they kept it alive. They kept the big book alive. That's what they called their meeting, keep the big book alive. And they were very successful. And I went to meetings for about 5 years, might have been my fault, till I found the Joe and Charlie tapes. And of course, I told the story a million times. I was going to listen to Joe and Charlie because they're two people from Arkansas. What could they possibly tell me, right? I'm a triple board certified doctor. I mean, Joe and Charlie, give me a break. And so I wanted, Mike Kerman had given me the tapes, and I won them, and I had them on the ledge of my exercise bike. And then I listened to this speaker, Burns B., who actually became like the head of the National Council for Alcoholism. He was a doctor. And he said he was in the program for 10 years, the fellowship for 10 years. And he listened to Joe and Charlie, and he said he didn't understand anything till he listened to that about how the book and the program and the recovery and the steps. So I'm staring at these discs, and I said, well, Bird seems pretty good and smart. He seems better shape than me. And I listened to him. It changed my life. And so I hope that in honor of them, we're able to carry the message. And the cover, the first page says, Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how more than 100 men have recovered from alcoholism. And so its story is in italics. And so it says we tell our story, remember? On our fifth step, but our story is what we thought happened. So the story is what they thought was happening, and then what happened, and then what they're like now, you see? And then they have the contents, so if you want to turn to your to the table of contents, I think that's in this book too. And now they say the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. And so if you look at the table of contents, in the original big book, they just had the foreword, which I'm going to read, and then they had Doctor's Opinion, page 1. And then they had Bill's story as chapter 1, but page 10. And so we ordered these study big books a few years ago, maybe 8 years ago. I've been doing this meeting a long time. And we all bought these study books. And you could take notes, and it would have the page and the paragraph. The problem was the pages were based on this, so that if anybody had the other book, it'd be page 10 here and then page 23 on that one, and it was quite a show. But anyway, so they made Doctor's Opinion 1. Now in this book we have here, we have the forewords to the four editions. Doctor's Opinion is in Roman numerals. I don't know the truth, but Joe and Charlie said that they changed it because they didn't want someone who wasn't a doctor having a page. I mean, who wasn't an alcoholic to have an official page? I don't know. But Doctor's Opinion in the original book didn't have a chapter number. Chapter 1 was Bill's story. And then if you can turn to the foreword to the first edition. So these are the first words the people got. Now they were going to mail this book to people all over the country. And then they felt if you did everything in this book, you would recover. And we read some of that working with others. And then you would have the book and you would take it to someone else and you would go through the book with them. And this is a way of them sponsoring the whole world. This is the what they say, carry this message. This is the message they carried. This is what they did. This is what they had. This is their testimony. You may not like the big book. You may not think you need it. You may not want to read it. That's fine. But this is their experience. You can't argue with their experience. Now, I will tell you, if you do this, you'll tell us your experience and how it's worked for you, and it's worked for me, and it's worked for others in this room. And so it says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Now, they use the word recovered again, and it says a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So how can you have a hopeless state of mind and body and it be seemingly? It either is a hopeless state of mind and body or not, right? Well, the reason it's seemingly is because it's hopeless till you had the solution that they give you. So they give you the solution. And what do they say in the next line? To show other alcoholics, and it's in big capital letters, precisely how we've recovered is the main purpose of this book. So that's why I study it. It's to show me how to recover and how to stay recovered. And if you're new, I suggest you study the book. We have the website now so you can listen to the whole book and read it. And then you can go over it with a sponsor and you can do the stuff. So precise instructions. And now, if you want to recover and have what they had, then you're going to follow exactly what they did. So they have precise instructions and they're in the book. So they made a cake, and this cake they sent to you, it's this book. And if you want this cake, you better make it the way they did. And I think what happens to a lot of us is we want what they had, but we don't want to do, we want our own cake. We want our cake and eat it too, right? That's good, I like that. And so we all have our own little recipe. The problem is, if it's not this recipe, it may not work for you. Now, they're not saying they have the only recipe that works. They only say that this recipe they know works, because we read it tonight. Rarely have we seen a person fail, so they only follow this path. So that's the foreword. Now, I have this handout here. I thought this would be good to kind of go over what we're trying to do in studying the big book and what recovery looks like. Now, this first page is big book goals, and it's from the table of contents, which we're going to look at in a few minutes. The goal one is you have to know the problem. Anybody think that's a good idea?
Yes.
And if I don't know what's wrong with me, I don't know what the solution looks like. And I just worked with two guys today, and they've been in treatment a while, and we went over the problem, and we read from the doctor's opinion, and the problem seemed pretty clear, didn't it? And it has to be read and taught. So doctor's opinion is the problem. Dr. Silkworth, he worked with alcoholics. He wasn't a doctor. He wasn't an alcoholic, but he saw us and worked with enough of us. And Bill's story shows the problem of one man who had the problem, and then how he recovered. And step one is about being powerless. And then if you don't know you're powerless, you read the big book and they're going to show you how you are. Because the big book is written to ask you questions. They'll make a statement, I'll show you when we study it. And you're supposed to say, does that apply to me? Do I have that? And then goal two is the solution. There's a solution, describes the solution that came from Dr. Young in Switzerland. And he gave it to Rowan Hazard, who brought it to New York, to Ebby, who went to Bill. And we've gone through that. We'll go through the history in the next week or so. And there's a solution, though. They talk more about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind and how powerless you are. And then more about alcoholism is to tell you that you need a power. Without a power, you're not going to make it. And it can't be you. But what they really describe more about alcoholism is what they call the queer mental twist before the first drink. Were there any queer mental twisters in this room? What they're saying is, you know you can't drink. You've thrown up all morning. You've lost the car. They've locked you in the house. They took your wallet away. And you know you need a drink, and you figure out how to get it. And what happens in your mind, why you feel like you need to take that drink, and nothing can come between you and the drink. It's called the mental obsession. And it's because willpower or knowledge won't work. Did anybody think they had a strong will? We weren't. That was our problem, right? But we had no will, the power that worked against alcohol, because we couldn't see what it's going to do to me, just for me. And in fact, most people who start to drink feel better on the way to the liquor store, right? Because they know it's coming, right? And why? Because their mind's seeking that ease and comfort. So they have a whole chapter on that, only to convince you that if you're an alcoholic, you're not going to fix that. There's only one thing that can come between me and the drink today, and that's God. Now, I seem, maybe you may not agree, I seem to have my shit together tonight pretty good. I'm better than yesterday. But here's the thing. I don't have any more power not to drink today than I did years ago. Now, how can I say that? I don't have any power of my own. The only power I have is from God. So I don't ever get the choice to drink again on my own. We say, don't drink or think it through. How can that work? I don't have the power. Now, I do have the choice to seek God. I prayed this morning. I went to Bible study. I went to a meeting. I'm here. I'm working with others. I know if I stay close to God, He'll give me the choice. So it says, God can and will if He sought. Did we read that tonight? So we have to seek God because God has the power. Now, if I start thinking I have the power of choice, then guess what? I'm starting to get smart again. My ego's rebuilding. Well, then I don't need to read the big book, and I don't need to go to meetings, and I don't need to do this. And then you see where it ends up. You got a bottle of vodka, and you don't know how it happened. And then we agnostics is where the power is. And so if we need the power, it tells us where it is, and then that's step two. And then the action necessary for recovery is in how it works, which we're starting, which is steps three and four. Into Action is steps 5 through 11, and Working with Others is step 12, and that's how to find the power. So you see how the book's laid out? Very sequentially. Some people find it hard because they don't have a chapter step 1. Now, a lot of people like the 12 and 12 because the steps are numbered. They can read step 1. But the 12 and 12 was written as a textbook. It's a very good book, but it was written on essays by somebody who's been in recovery for 15 years. It's his personal observations. This is a textbook. Now, the next page is Road Chart to a Decision. So this is what we're trying to do in the first three steps. Oh, by the way, if you're new, it took me a while to figure this out. The steps are in order. I mean, it sounds crazy, but we're alcoholics, right? I don't need step 2. I'll do step 4. I don't like 4. I'll do 8. And it's not a choice. And step 1 is the mental obsession, the physical allergy. Now, everybody who said there's an alcoholic tonight cannot just take one drink. And why? Because we're made different than normal people. Once we have a drink, we crave the second one. Anybody else have that?
Yes.
All right. And then if we have the mental obsession, the drink, we're screwed. So my problem is I have lack of power. And then step 2 is the solution. The fellowship is supposed to support us so we get this spiritual experience which changes us. And the solution is our relationship with God. And the step 3 is the decision whether we're going to do the deal or not. We're at the turning point. Are we going to accept spiritual help and follow the steps? Or are we going to go on to the bitter end and die? Now, there's no other choice in AA. And what they're really telling you is, unless you have a better plan, do this plan. Now, Jimmy forgot to remind me that this is a treasure map. This is a treasure map to the treasure, which is your relationship with God. But to me, really, this is a book of salvation for me. This is a book of how I could be saved from a life of self-centeredness to a relationship with God. And so the treasure map is laid out, and we just looked at some of how it's laid out in the Big Book Goals. Does this make sense? So then the next is, and I didn't know this, and I've been to meetings for a long time till I listened to Joe and Charlie, and this is from the steps we took. So I come in here and I have no power not to drink, and I have no power to manage my life. Anybody else have that problem? And I need a power to live, right? I know that.
Yes.
So what are the steps and the process of getting the relationship with God? Now, here they start with willingness. Willingness is the first step if you want to change. You have to be willing to change. Anybody here want to change? You have to be willing to change. Now, that won't help you unless you believe you can change. And you know how you believe you can change? Because you come in here, and the new people who have their 30, 60 days subscribed, and when they came in, they saw people who had changed. And they had hope from them, right? And they believed, based on meeting them, that they could change. Then in step 3, we make a decision that we're going to change. We're going to change our lives and have God run our lives and not me. Anybody think that's a good idea?
Yes.
All right, but the decision won't do anything unless I take the action. And the action of the steps has results. What are the results? We read the promises at a lot of meetings. We don't read them here. Promises suddenly God is doing you for you when you cannot do for yourself. Page 85, it says, We can see the truth about alcohol. Sanity has been returned. We recoil from it as from a hot flame. It says we're having peace and serenity. We're not fighting everybody and everything, right? And once we have results, then we have true faith. The problem with alcoholics is belief in God won't change me. Because belief in God, I'm still running the show. And how do I make God the Lord of my life? Through the steps. The steps are a process for people who are living on self-will, bondage to self, on how they get true faith. Now, once you have true faith, you have knowledge that if you do this, God will be there, right? And then you don't have to question anymore. And so we have true faith as the result of the steps. And then you don't And what does that do for you? If you're having a bad day, somebody mentioned a bad day, we know what to do now. If I have anger, I know the process of how to, if I'm disturbed, what to do. We learn the process in steps 10, 11. We work 4-9 all the time, and we know how to get out of fear and how to get out of anger and how to change the way we see things. And how do we do that? We know it works, so we do it. So today, if I'm full of fear, I say, well, I don't need to worry about that. God, you're in charge. Take it away. It's not real. It's a waste of time. I say, God, remove the fear. How do you want me to be? I didn't know that when I came in here. And if you're angry, you're just saying, God, I'm separated from you. I'm judging. It's a false judgment. I need to see the truth. I need to say the prayers. Remove my anger. How I see people, how I see the situation. Now I talk about the Arch to Freedom, the book talks about that, and here's the picture of the arch, and willingness is step 1, belief is step 2, and keystone is step 3. And then we pass through this to freedom. I'm in the bondage of self, I build the arch, and I move through into the world of the spirit. And I handed these cards out, and it's where I tried to show how we go from living in my world to the world with God. The world with God is good. So this is really the whole deal that we're going to study the book on this card. And then on the next page, it shows when you've built the whole arch. And you start with willingness, you have belief, you work the steps, and you have faith. So anybody want this? If you do this, it'll happen. And if you don't do it, you're not going to get through the arch. You're going to always be in bondage to self. And if you're an alcoholic, you'll probably drink again. Now, notice you can't build half the arch. It won't work. It won't stand up. And so that's that. I thought this was a good review. I don't know. And I really like this last picture. This is what they talk about in We Agnostics. Alcoholics come in, and they're on this side of the bridge. Now, alcoholics are all very smart. They have reasoning. They think things through. That may be their problem. Probably my problem. We reason. We're going to reason whether this is going to work or not. And we start out on the sure reason. We're dying. Our lives are effing mess, and we're still going to think about it, right? People have worked with new people. You know what I'm talking about. And we're going to think about it. So we say, well, we'll do 1 and 2, and we'll make a decision, right? And then, unless we do the other steps, we won't get to the shore of faith. And they talk about, in We Agnostics, that we start to leave the shore of reason, and there's this hand reaching out to us on the other side, which is God. And he'll take grip of us, and he'll take us back to him if we do this. Does this make sense? So this is what the whole deal's about. And then here's the process of spiritual growth, and how the steps are related to that. Willingness, belief, decision, inventory. And you're going to inventory what you need to change, and then the actions to change, and then you're changed. And they talk about believing is the beginning of each thing that we accomplish in our lives. To be successful, believing must become strong enough to incite a decision. Now, I was willing to become a doctor. And I believed that I probably could become a doctor, and I made a decision to do it. But when I went to medical school on the first day, they didn't give me a diploma. You know, I had to do 4 years of training, and it's like you forget how hard it was. And then they give you the degree. And so you have to take the action. And it says, once this decision made, it's been strong enough to incite action. Once the action becomes strong enough, it brings results. Then you have faith as true knowledge. And that's how the 12 steps, this is what it's all about. And the big book takes you from the beginning through this process. And it says, we should not expect this result in step 2. Many people fail because they're expecting true knowledge by faith before they make a decision, take any action. Now, God in AA is defined as that which has all power. And we define God as an experience, a spiritual experience, a relationship with God. And that experience is your experience. And if you do this, you have your experience and tell us what happened. And that's what people are supposed to tell us on their birthdays. And so you can't argue with their experience. I can't tell you what you're, what it's going to be for you, but you'll know you're changed. You'll have that power. And so we tell you in AA, you may not want to do this. You may think this is horrible. Is he ever going to shut up? But we tell you, if your life is pretty bad and you can't stop drinking and your life's a mess, do this and try it. And reason people do it is because they run out of other options eventually. I was completely defeated. We talk about hitting bottom, and I'm going to stop now. But once you hit bottom, you're willing to do anything, right? And then they say, are you willing to go to any length? And then you do this, and you get changed. So this is the introduction. And next week, we're going to look at the foreword to the second edition, some of the history, and then go through the book. So I hope this was helpful. We'll open it up.